This guy's saying this stuff's coming down. He likes it, though. He thinks this is a good idea. Talks about researchers at Harvard Medical School and MIT are now working on an artificial retina chip that would sit in the back of the eye, tied into the optic nerve, and pass visual images to the brain. There's no reason why such signals couldn't be recorded or even transmitted. These guys really want to mess with human beings. But he closes this first article. He says, the proposition of bringing computers into the human body is no longer fantasy, but fact. People I've surveyed seem unanimously averse to accepting a computer into their bodies. But acceptance is a slow, reluctant process. It begins with medical benefits, such as those above. Mentioned some Bill and Hillary benefits that would await us. Next month, we'll explore a different option. Would you be willing to implant all your ID and your money under your skin? Developments are afoot that may not only intrigue, but persuade you. And then the next month, he talks about smart money and the smart card technology. And he goes into that and about, you know, it's easy. See, this is like, you know, credit cards, you know, you don't have to carry a lot of money if you got a credit card. Two problems with it. Number one, Big Brother knows exactly how you spend your money. Big Brother knows exactly where your heart is, okay? And number two, somebody can steal your credit card. But if they implant that information under the skin, and they're talking about going the smart card is actually a higher level of technology than credit cards. If they implant it under the skin, nobody can steal your, you know, your right arm or your forehead if you're missing a right arm. So, whatever the case, the technology is here. What was talked about in the Book of Revelation 2,000 years ago, that technology is here. Gary talked about Malachi Martin, a high Vatican official who was still a Catholic, a Roman Catholic priest. He was friends with several popes, and he agrees with John Paul II that when he dies, the College of Cardinals that will elect the next pope, they both agree they're going to elect an anti-pope, a new age, pro-abortion, pro-gay rights, pro-all faiths lead to God pope, pro-one world government pope. I mean, in this interview, he says, the Pope is surrounded by men in clerical garb who do not possess the Catholic faith. They are working with foundations, non-governmental organizations, international groups, financial institutions, governments, academia, and other agencies to bring a new world order into existence. You see, what Malachi Martin is arguing is that all these one-worlders got together and they realized, you know, we can do this thing that was done in ancient times, this one world government, this big empire. The problem is we don't have the old Greek and Roman myths to help us suppress the people. Okay? We need to gain their religious allegiance in order to suppress them. And when they looked around, they saw only one religious system that had a worldwide structure already in place, the Roman Catholic Church. That's why they didn't go to the Protestants, because we're so divided, you know, they would have to take over, you know, 250 different splinter groups, okay? With Roman Catholicism, you get the big man on a totem pole, you got the whole schmeal, okay? That's in the works. It is possible, it's possible that the next pope, if he is an anti-pope, as Malachi Martin and Pope John Paul II think, it is possible he could fulfill a false prophet role, especially if he's Jewish by nationality. And the two horns quite possibly could be religious horns, in that he could have a foot in professing Christendom, Roman Catholicism, and a foot in Judaism, being Jewish by nationality. That's speculation there, okay? But I'm just throwing out some possibilities. One other thing I want to talk about. Gorbachev is not collecting unemployment right now. Gorbachev was only, in the past, when he headed the Soviet Union, he was only a shadow of the power he has today. Right now, he lives on a shut down military base in San Francisco. He's the head of the Gorbachev Foundation. He gives talks all at universities all over the country, probably, you know, $100,000 a pop. It looks like I failed on getting us out of here as quick as I wanted to, but we're wrapping it up right now. Lock the doors, Jeff. Nobody leaves till I'm done. But basically, he's also the head of now the Green Cross, which has nothing to do with the cross, but it's got a whole lot to do with green and the environmental movement. Gorbachev is preaching a New Age message. I don't think he's a New Ager, though. I just think he likes to, he wants us to accept the myths, because then it makes easier for Caesar to step all over us if we accept the myths. But whatever the case, the 1995 State of the World Forum was sponsored by the Gorbachev Foundation. Gorbachev was the keynote speaker. It was titled, Toward a New Civilization, Launching a Global Initiative. Now, when Hank Hanegraaff, and Hank Hanegraaff is so, has done so much good work, but when he tells me that it's not cool to look into this kind of thing. Hey, when Gorbachev is giving talks and thousands of people, I mean, you look at the people, 400 people entered there, and I think most of us do not have the, I think it was five, I don't remember if it was $500 or $5,000 to go there, but it was, I think it was invitation only. 400 people from 50 countries, former Secretaries of State, James Baker and George Shultz, both co-chairs of the forum. Schultz and Baker, what are you doing with Gorbachev? This is the guy that was under his administration in Afghanistan. They take landmines and make them look like toys. Because, you know, after you knock off the military bases, the Soviet Union would then knock off the hospitals. And then you put the little landmines designed only to blow off a limb or two of the children, so the Afghans got to carry around their children that they love while they're bleeding to death and no hospital to take them to, just in an attempt to break the will of the Afghans, which they failed to do. This is Gorbachev. You know, you go to Sylvan Way Library, and it's probably still on a shelf, his book on how to get world peace. And he wins the Nobel Prize. And at this thing, you got people like Shultz complimenting Gorbachev for bringing down the Soviet Union. He didn't bring down the Soviet Union. If he brought it down, he just did it on purpose, which you can make a real good case for, because that was the scenario a former KGB agent presented to the United States Congress years before it occurred, and it was just, for all practical purposes, ignored. Former Secretaries of State James Baker was there, Shultz was there, former President George Bush, former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, former Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney, New Age gurus Fritjof Capra, Matthew Fox, who got booted out of the Catholic Church, and rightfully so. Robert Mueller, who was Assistant Secretary General, I believe, of the United Nations at one time. A real aggressive New Ager. Bill Gates was there. Maurice Strong, a Canadian, who blames all the poverty in the world on the fact that we drive cars, yet the guy's driving around in limousines and has hundreds and hundreds of acres of different homes all over the world, including in America. Zbigniew Brzezinski, it was basically his idea that brought about the Trilateral Commission, which kind of was an offshoot in one way or another of the Council on Foreign Relations. Carl Sagan was there. John Denver, you know, Country Roads, Take Me Home, I Want to Be a God type of guy. Shirley MacLaine was there, and we all know about Shirley MacLaine. Dennis Weaver, this has even affected the cast of Gentle Bent. This is getting, you know... And you know, I don't even have to mention the next two, you know, Beanie and Cecil, Ted Turner and Jane Fonda were there, but that goes without mentioning. I mean, you know, as long as there's not an, you know, this was in, I believe it was in September and October, I got to hand it to it. They're committed, because they could have been at a Atlanta Braves game. But whatever the case, Gorbachev stated that we need a global brain trust to focus on the present and future of our civilization. And he says that it'll only work if we can have this brain trust made up of people I'd almost want to be willing to bet there's going to be seven of them. But whatever the case, it can only succeed if you have people who are widely respected as world leaders and global citizens. If you think Ted Turner is not a global citizen, by the way, Bernard Shaw was in the middle of a battle in Iraq, and when Colin Powell went to him and asked for some information, he said, I have to be neutral here because I work for a company that is international. We can't show favorites. He was basically saying, even though we've made our millions because of the free United States of America and we're based in Atlanta, Georgia, as far as Ted Turner and I are concerned, we work for the world. We're global citizens. We're not citizens of the United States of America. Gorbachev proposes to set up a kind of United Nations Council of Elders, the elite who are going to do our thinking for us. By the way, one of the speakers at this talk was Barbara Marx Hubbard, and she basically says that one-fourth of the world... Now, she said this in a book. Not she didn't make this statement at this at that summit, but everybody knows about her book. That's what made her famous, the Book of Co-Creation. She says one-fourth of the world is electing to transcend, basically to evolve and to recognize their deity, New Age type of thought. But one-fourth is destructive. They are defective seeds. In the past, they were permitted to die a natural death. But now as we approach the quantum shift from the creature human to the co-creative human, the human who is an inheritor of godlike powers, the destructive one-fourth, must be eliminated from the social body. By the way, Vice President Al Gore agrees with the United Nations on their population control doctrines, which basically... I think for all practical purposes, the numbers I'm throwing out aren't exactly accurate, but basically from the year 2000 to the year 2040, they want the world's population to remain the same. But it's supposed to double during that time period. So basically, one way or another, they want to cut the world's population in half. So when Hank Hanegraaff and people, godly brothers and sisters, tell me to look the other way, I can't look the other way anymore. Tal Brook is catching a lot of flack, but he's right. This thing looks like it's coming down. The Jews are ready to rebuild the temple, and the Gentiles are ready to rule the world. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if the people of God, if the church is not going to stand up and speak out against evil, who's going to do it? We've got to defend the helpless, the unborn babies being aborted. We've got to defend Christians who are being persecuted, but we've got to stand up against a one-world government and people like Gorbachev, who's being viewed as a man of peace. I don't know if, you know, Gorbachev is going to be the Antichrist and that type of thing, but let me tell you, he's the best candidate right now. And I'm not a betting man, and I wouldn't even if I was, I wouldn't bet on him. I think most likely Antichrist is somebody we don't even know right now, but he's going to have the charisma of a Gorbachev and the deceptive ability to butcher human beings and yet still deceive people into thinking that he's a man of peace. Let me just close with this from Malachi Martin, the former Vatican leader who is still a Catholic priest, but he mentions something about Gorbachev. He's answering the question about Gorbachev, and he says that he is far more dangerous. He's saying he's far more dangerous now that he's no longer the head of the Soviet Union. He's far more dangerous now. He is destined for great things in the plans of those who are implementing the process that leads to the New World Order. Malachi Martin has a lot more information than I have, and what Malachi Martin is saying is that right now, one of the leading, well, probably the leading candidate for the job, the guy who's got the resume that could fill that job, is none other than Gorbachev himself. So I think, again, I can't say I know for sure these are the last days. If they're not, I'm going to be one surprised camper. But all I can say is we need to fight the good fight of faith, uphold the truth, proclaim the gospel. There's nothing more powerful that you can do to oppose a one-world government, to oppose abortion, there's nothing more powerful that you can do than to proclaim the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ and lead your neighbors to Christ. Now, if you're doing that, yeah, there are some other things you can do as well. Get politically active, get educated on these issues and end-time prophecies and talk to friends. But the most powerful thing that you can do, the most powerful thing the church can do is if the church would just be the church, be the body of Christ, and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work His will through us. And so if we be all that God called us to be, then when this stuff comes down, we won't have to be ashamed. We won't have to apologize to others. And we can stand there without shame when the Lord Jesus returns as a great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just one note, the day is going to come, as bleak as things may look, the day is going to come when the sun is going to be dark, and the moon is not going to give its lightness, and the stars of the heavens are going to fall, and the powers of the heavens are going to be shaken. And at that time, you can look up, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to return, the God of Abraham, the God who parted the Red Sea for Moses and spoke to Moses from the burning bush, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. And when He returns, He's going to enter Jerusalem through the eastern gate. The day is going to come when He's going to sit enthroned in the Holy of Holies, and people are going to be coming from all over the world to visit Him. We need to long for that day. That's the blessed hope of the church. That's the only hope this world has ever had. And so those who trust in the United Nations, I pity them. The only hope this world can ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings.